I want to begin the questioning by thanking you for your testimony. In particular, your testimony indicated that USDA's Risk Management Agency had been contracted for development of a pilot program on honeybee insurance, and that hasn't happened yet. That was in 2005, it's now 2007. I'd encourage USDA to get with the program here and move this program, because clearly it's needed for this industry now, not later. I had a question for you, but we're very short of time because the votes have interceded, and a number of the members of the committee have other functions that we have to deal with, other events that we have to be at, meetings we have to attend. So my next question for the entire panel, and please keep your answer as short as possible, but as concise and to the point of the exact problem as you can possibly do. Several of you have indicated and raised concerns over the impact of agricultural pesticides on honeybee populations, and that was raised in almost every member's testimony. My experience is that farmers and ranchers are generally very wise users of pesticides, that they follow the labels, that they comply with the standards, and it seems that you think or you suspect that this is having an impact on bee populations. I'd like for you each to discuss in greater detail your perspective on pesticide use and the potential impact that this might be having on this problem.
Real quickly, I'm also a licensed pest control operator as well as an almond grower, and I can just say that whenever we apply anything in the springtime, you're not applying any kind of pesticides that would, they're killing agents, they're just fungicides in the almonds. The only time that we do come up in California against some problems is when the alfalfa, and we have alfalfa weevil. Through the Ag Commissioners, we have to notify all beekeepers within a 2-mile radius. As long as they register with the County Ag Commissioner, it is that they have to register with the County Ag Commissioner, let them know where they're at. We can go in and we can notify all the beekeepers through a phone call that we're going to be applying and tell them when we're going to do that. And we have to do that 48 hours in advance so that they can do something to protect those hives if there's something to be done there. But also, from what I've been hearing, talking to folks, it could be things that are happening during the growing season, especially a lot of the bees that we have in California come from out of state. So it might not be something that's happening while the bees are in the field.
Thank you, Ms. Lane.
My experience in South Dakota is basically follows your assessment of the aerial applicator, the applicators, pesticide applicators. We have a great bunch of people working good with us, same way in California. But part of the problem probably is and could be is that some of these pesticides working in combination by themselves are not harmful to bees, but in combination are lethal. And we've seen this with some of the treatments we've had in hive using fluvalinate and some of the fungicides that they're putting on the trees. Either one by themselves are not harmful, but in combination we have a lethal product. And so we just need more research, and I think the applicators are doing their best, the beekeepers are doing their best, but we're just having some problems in there.
Mr. Doan, did you have a perspective?
Yes, sir. Our concern is, at least on my part, and when you read the evidence out of France, and I don't think my growers do it on purpose, but there's systemic pesticides that are being used. And so they're coming through the plants, the bees are collecting it as pollen, bringing it back to the hive, and then it's fed to the young and to the nurse bees. And if you read through what I've presented, you will find that the evidence indicates that they're disruptors of their orientation of all insects. And that would lead me to believe that these bees are flying off and just are not able to come back to those hives to find where they belong. And bees are social insects, and they die on their own.
You suspect this. You don't have. We don't have empirical evidence to point to that yet.
We don't have here. So far, there have not been any tests done to check for the pesticides in the pollen. The samples have been drawn, but as far as I know, there's no labs to run these tests at currently, or machinery.
Mr. Brandy.
Yeah. Certainly, in the San Joaquin Valley of California, we do have a lot of experience with pesticides, and our bees are exposed to pesticides routinely throughout the year, depending upon the crops we happen to be on. But over the past 30 years, the applicators have become much more educated and aware of the value of bees, and certainly are cognizant of that. I think it's more a situation of the fact that we just don't know what certain chemicals will do to bees, sublethal or acutely or residually toxic. We used to have a person at UC Riverside that would independently test pesticides for bee toxicity. He retired in the early 80s, has not been replaced. The fellow from Washington State University was the next independent tester of pesticides as they relate to bees, and he retired back in the 90s. So really, we've been running kind of blind here for about the last 10 years. That's why I thought if a USDA honeybee toxicologist could be hired on, that would be good, because we just don't know about not only the residual effect of some of these chemicals, but the other sublethal effects that have been referred to here today as well. We just don't know. We're guinea pigs in the field.
In my Eat Healthy America Act, and a number of members of this committee and a number of congressional members have been very concerned about the lack of research dollars that have been going into agriculture the last few years. Thank you for highlighting that problem. Clearly, Mr. Wenger, in your testimony, you raised anecdotal correlation to the declining research dollars and rising disease and pest problems. And so if you have any further comment, we're almost at the end of our time here, but I'll give you the opportunity to comment on that.
Well, I just think a lot of times these problems creep up on us slowly, and we have noticed, even through the land-grant universities, as we go into more and more areas of research, it seems like a lot of the basic ag research is where we're losing. And today, it's not so much that we need the research of how to produce a better almond or how to produce more almonds per acre, but it's these things like this with the bee research. How do we help with the air and the water issues? And so I think anything the Congress can do to with the land-grant universities especially, to encourage the continuation of support for agricultural research and applied research and the extension agents and how they get that out in the field, it would be very beneficial, not only to agriculture, but all those in America that depend upon American agriculture.
Thank you, Paul. Mr. Etheridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Brandy, let me ask you first, how long has the CCD been an issue? That we've noticed it?
CCD was only named such just within the past few months, but we have noticed an increase in winter colony die-off for several years, but it's never been as severe as this year.
Let me tell you why I'm asking the question, because I'm trying to get, and I don't expect you to give me a definitive answer when I ask it, so hopefully we got a few scholars in the audience, and hope some of USDA is still here. Because we talked about pesticides a few minutes ago, and we've been using pesticides for years, you know, to expand our crops and do other things. So, you know, I want us to be careful how we go there. I really wonder if it's a combination, because, and I wish I'd had this chance to ask the USDA representative earlier. I wonder if it started regionally as we had droughts. You know, we've had severe droughts in some areas over the last number of years now. And in North Carolina, it's been several years since we've had one, fortunately. Midwest has really been in tough times, and the far west have had some severe droughts, and even in some parts of the southeast. You really wonder if this stress adds to those issues, and I know we need to do some research, I don't know. So let me move to another question after having raised that. You are a representative of industry, and you've been at it a long time, as you've indicated. And you've, as the industry comes together, is there a working relationship across the industry? I know we have beekeepers, but across the industry of things they're doing to gather data so that we can share that data with our university representatives, as I raised the issue, if you remember, with the first panel. They've got a lot of people out there. We provide a lot of research dollars in a lot of areas. And if the industry is gathering data to share, it'd be very helpful to have that data to be available. Or are we gathering data, or is it all anecdotal?
At the present time, Dr. Bromenshank up in Montana has been doing a survey of the industry just to see the depth of the problem. And he's put together some very, very good information, and I think it's going to be very useful information.
Do you know when that might be completed?
I think it's ongoing right now. Parts of it have been completed already. I've seen some of it, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I think it'd be helpful for this committee once that survey is completed and information has been consolidated, it'd be very helpful for us to have that information.
I'll certainly make it sure it gets disseminated.
Make our decisions. That'd be very helpful. Thank you. Mr. Ellington, you've been in the business, as you indicated earlier, a long time.
Yes, sir.
You've seen a lot of ups and downs and a lot of changes. Having grown up on the farm, I have some understanding of that. But I guess my question is we went through the mites and other things, and I think there's probably not a real good understanding on the part of the general public how important bees are to productivity. Farmers know, those people that are actually engaged in the specific commodities know. So hopefully this hearing, Mr. Chairman, will help start that process. But I think my bigger question is, compared to the problems that we have faced in the industry with beekeeping over the years, and you indicated in your earlier testimony the severity of this, how would you classify the current situation as it relates to previous challenges that have been faced by the industry?
I would say we're on the close of catastrophic, to give a one-word answer. I also say that we've gone through this using the Dr. Marla Spivak's hygienic queen selection, and we put in new frames. We've done all the things you're supposed to do right. We're still seeing this problem. Usually, if you have a problem, if your combs are old, you replace them, you get new combs, things work well, hives turn around. You've got no CMA, you feed Fumadil, those types of things. We've been doing all these things. We're still having a problem. I asked a fellow beekeeper the other day when I went and bought some brood. I says, Daryl, what did you do last year when you had this big collapse compared to this year? He said, nothing. I did everything the same way I did it last year, I did it this year. And he has no answer either why his bees are okay this year. So
I think that's a good one to meet the end on, unless someone else disagrees with that. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Etheridge. I want to make 2 points before we close here today. First of all, we've had discussion on a number of things. We're going to follow this question, this mystery that we have in the bee industry and back to nature, to completion. We're going to try and figure out what that is. We're going to advocate for more resources. Government's wheels turn oftentimes too slow. We're going to need the private sector and the state departments of agriculture to work with USDA to try and help Congress get to the point where we can help you all deal with the situation. But you have the commitment from this committee that we're going to do everything within our power and follow the leads like detectives wherever they may go. It may be, as Mr. Doan indicates, that it could be a pesticide issue. It may not. We don't know that yet. And I don't want to implicate anything before we know for certain what the true culprit is. But I think it is imperative that we do find out who that culprit is, what the culprit is, because this industry is too important to the country and to food production for us not to follow the leads and find out what's causing this problem. I thank you all. I thank all the witnesses for the testimony. I thank the members of the committee for their interest. Under the rules of the committee, the record of today's hearing will remain open for 10 days to receive additional material and supplementary written responses from the witnesses to any questions posed by the members of the panel. This hearing of the Subcommittee on Horticulture and Organic Agriculture is hereby adjourned.